Welcome to the September edition of the AES Journal. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. The AES is excited to announce two digital ventures which provide its members with rich content. There is still time to receive exclusive oral histories by AES audio experts on your phone daily through the start of the 131st Convention. U.S. and Canada residents, simply text AES to 757575 today to receive these exclusive videos, or visit aes.org/historical/oral to watch. Also, the AES now has apps in the Apple and Android stores available for free download. If you use an iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, or an Android device, then be sure to search for Audio Engineering Society, as the app provides a wealth of information about the upcoming 131st Convention in New York. But fear not, we'll also be updating it with news and videos throughout the year. A remarkable range of audio-related research can be seen in clear focus this month, with four scholarly papers that span transducer design, the use of graphics hardware, culturally informed speech quality models, and finally, ambisonics. Knud Thorberg and Klaus Futtrip begin the battling by explaining how the use of so-called semi-inductors can be extended to improve performance in models of moving coil loudspeakers. They also introduce the effects of AC shortening devices and the impact of frequency-dependent loss in the transducer suspension, showing good agreement between models and measurements. Overall, they are able to claim that this represents a more detailed physical understanding of loudspeaker behavior. Nicholas Tsingas and his colleagues follow by showing how modern computer graphics processing units can be used for audio processing in virtual reality and computer games. These devices have evolved so quickly in the past decade that they now have a massively parallel architecture capable of offering between 5 and 100 times the performance of typical CPU implementations. All this makes them an attractive candidate for computing intensive audio applications, such as audio rendering or speech recognition. Speech quality models aim to predict the perceptual effects of signal degradations in speech communication systems, such as noise, distortion, coding artifacts, and level changes. In a fascinating paper by Deborah Ahern and a number of co-authors, we discover that significant differences exist in the importance of certain factors depending on the native language of the listener. Here, the focus was on speakers of Igbo, an African tone language, in which the low-level parts of speech appear to contain more critically important information. For this reason, Igbo listeners were more disturbed by additive noise and low listening levels than they were by other artifacts. As a result, it's proposed that speech quality models must be tuned to match culture and language. Rounding up the front section of the September Journal, Julian Chengarle, Tony Mateos, and David Bonsi show us how velocity transducers based on hot wire anemometry can be used to capture second-order spherical harmonics of a sound field. Because such transducers are very small, they can be mounted on a tiny rigid bar only a few millimeters wide, which reduces the effects of diffraction and shadows. You can find out here about possible applications and performance of these transducers in second-order ambisonics. Turning to the back of this month's issue, you'll find the Standards Committee reporting on audio metadata in various forms. Francis Rumsey's feature article then goes on to ask the question, "Whose head is it anyway?" by examining recent research on the optimization of binaural reproduction for individual listeners. We learn about the relative merits of individually customized systems versus one-size-fits-all reproduction. It's time, too, to be thinking about submitting a proposal for two international conferences that will take place next year. The first, on audio forensics, will be chaired by Jeff Smith and runs from the 14th to the 16th of June 2012 in Denver, Colorado. The second, on music-induced hearing disorders, follows just a few days later from June 20th to the 22nd at Columbia College in Chicago, Illinois. Chaired by Michael Santucci, this conference will provide attendees with a detailed understanding of state-of-the-art hearing loss prevention strategies and devices as they relate to music production and reproduction. If you're working in this field and have something interesting to offer, the deadline for full papers is January 15th. In obituaries this month, we mark the passing of three great names in audio engineering. Daniel von Recklinghausen survived a Nazi concentration camp to become an eminent scientist in the United States, and most recently editor of this journal. Sidney Harman was a polymath whose company made high-quality sound reproduction accessible to a broad range of domestic consumers, while Walter Selsted became vice president and director of research at Ampex, later moving to manage engineering teams for Hewlett-Packard. Finally, the Society is searching for a new executive director at present. Perhaps you have the right blend of skills and experience to take this prestigious organization forward into the next phase of its existence. Take a look in the journal or on the front page of the AES website to find more information. If you're a member of the AES, you can log on and read the journal at www.aes.org. Why not join us now and take advantage of the many benefits of membership in the world's leading organization for professional audio engineering? You'll join a thriving body of individuals dedicated to furthering the art and science of audio around the world. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.